On this podcast, you'll improve your music vocabulary and learn a few music expressions and idioms that will take your English to the next level. Welcome to
Aprender Inglés with Reza and Craig. Hello, I'm Craig.
Hi, I'm Reza.
And with over 40, how many years? 40 something?
45.
Over loads of years, many years of teaching between us. We're going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. How are you, Reza?
I'm doing very well. I'm as fit as a fiddle. And you?
That's good. I am very, very well myself. And I'm really pleased and interested to listen to you speaking about music today, because it's your thing. You have a background in music. You are musically trained. So just to, before we go into the vocabulary about music and speaking about music in detail, could you just give a brief summary of your history in music and what you're doing today with music?
Okay, well, I studied music, in fact. I've been playing the violin on and off. That means sometimes I haven't really bothered to look at it, but more or less playing the violin since I was about 10 years old. So quite a few years. I used to play a lot better until I was about 21 years old, around about then, 20, 21. I was not bad, even if I say so myself.
Did you choose the violin or did your parents force you to play it, to learn it?
To be honest, they forced me. It wasn't my choice. And at the beginning, I didn't like playing it. But after a few years, by the time I got to about 14, 15, I grew to really love it. And then, if anything, I took it more seriously than my parents wanted me to.
Did you have a music teacher come to your house or did you learn in at school?
I used to go to school for lessons. And I also went to a kind of state music academy a couple of days a week to have lessons as well, which was very, very good. So I ended up studying music and I was quite good, not bad at all, but I began to have a bit of trouble with my health. Nothing major, but a little bit of arthritis, which affects your joints, that's your articulations. And that affected my playing quite a lot. So I lost quite a lot of the flexibility that you need to play the violin or most instruments.
So you need flexibility in your wrist, I would imagine, and in your fingers too. Yeah.
And your shoulder. And as I say, I lost a bit of flexibility. So my standard of playing went down quite a bit, which was very depressing, actually, I have to tell you.
You missed it, yeah?
Yeah, I still do, because I know that there was a time in my life when I could play quite well, you know?
Well, I've heard you playing, and I think you do play very well. I heard you play quite recently. So what are you doing at the moment, and what brought you to decide to start playing again?
Well, so I'm more or less classically trained to play classical music, but since that didn't quite work out as I had hoped, because I wanted to maybe play in orchestras and chamber groups and that type of thing, classical music professionally, as I had done as an amateur for many years as a child, that didn't work out. So I kind of left the violin for a bit. And then years later, people heard that I played the violin a bit, and I've been involved in a couple of projects. About 10 years back or 12 years back now, I played in a Cajun music group for a couple of concerts, about 4 or 5 concerts.
Was it that long ago? I remember that.
Yeah.
Was it 10 years ago?
10 years ago or more. I think it was more.
Amazing.
Cajun music is music from Louisiana. So that kind of music, which sounds like kind of Irish folk and French and country and Western all mixed up. That kind of music they play, you know, down in the bayou, down in the alligator swampland. I got into that because violin is really important in that type of music.
And you were the only Cajun band in Valencia at that time?
In the whole of Spain.
In the whole of Spain.
Yeah. There are very few in Europe. There are probably a couple in France. It has more of a French theme. But yeah, we think we were the only one in Spain. We weren't very good, to be honest. But hey, at least we were original. And then after that, I've done a few bits and bobs. That means, of course she does.
Bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. Until quite recently, I got involved in a fairly big project, to be honest. Not my idea, but it's a very good idea. A friend of a friend got in touch and said, hey, we're thinking of, you know, introducing a violin into a group just to see where it goes. And it grew into an idea called Multilingus, which, as it sounds, is to do with languages. So it's this kind of group of 7-8 people, but sometimes it grows to about 15 or 20. Sometimes we team up with a choir, a group of singers, and we sing in as many languages as we possibly can, kind of famous tunes or, you know, choral tunes, a bit of classical, a bit of pop, a bit of rock, a bit of folk. And quite often people know the music, you know, things like we played Love Is in the Air, you know.
Love Is in the Air.
Everybody knows that. We're practicing Imagine by the Beatles at the minute. We've played Un Beso y Una Flor. Most Spanish people, certainly most Valencians would know, because it's a pop song sung by a Valencian, you know, Bravo, that type of thing. And we've already played in a few fairly impressive places like...
you played the Escuela de Idiomas in Valencia, and I was there, and you raised the roof, which means everybody was up out of their seats, dancing, clapping, cheering. There was an incredible atmosphere when you played there. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
And we repeated it in the Palau de la Música, which is kind of like the main classical music venue in Valencia. Mm-hmm. And that went very well. And we got a few more concerts lined up. So, yeah, I do keep in touch with my musical side. I'm not half as active as I used to be when I was a teenager or in my early 20s. But, you know, I'm glad that I didn't give it up altogether. I'm glad that it's a skill that I've learned and I've never forgotten. It's a bit like learning to ride a bike. If you learn when you're a kid, you'll never completely forget. Even if you don't do it for years, it comes back to you. You don't forget how to do it.
So let's look at some vocabulary connected to music, the people in music, and other musical terms. We did speak about music vocabulary in episode 27. Long time ago. So if you want to go and listen to that episode, that's inglespodcast.com/27. You will learn some basic musical terms and vocabulary. But Reza, let's look at the people involved in music and try and look at some more unusual vocabulary for the listeners.
Yes. Well, you can look yourself at episode 27, as Craig said, and one of the words you'll find there is drummer. But we're not going to talk about that now. We're going to talk about percussionist, because that doesn't appear in that old episode 27. And it's not exactly the same.
Although a drummer is a percussionist, right?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
That's the thing. A percussionist can play any percussion instrument, whereas a drummer only plays the drums.
Right.
So a percussionist might play the drums, or might play the triangle, the cymbals, the glockenspiel, all sorts of things. Yeah, whatever thing you can hit and make a sound. Mm-hmm. So percussion's far more wide-ranging.
And when musicians like a percussionist or a pianist or a violinist, when they go into a studio to record music in studio, recording studio conditions, is there an expression for those freelance musicians?
Yes, they're usually called session musicians because they call it a recording session. So that's a freelance musician who's usually hired just to play on one album or maybe even just one track. They're usually really good. They know what they're doing because they have to play well with very little preparation. So they're good musicians. To be honest, in fact, it's kind of an open secret, that secreto a voces, very often, to be honest, when pop groups, rock groups hire a session musician to play on a track or two, he or she's usually far better than the actual musicians in the pop or rock group.
And they're often playing alone, aren't they? They're listening maybe to other instruments in their headphones while they're playing, but they're not actually playing together in synchronized with the other musicians.
Right. Sometimes it's added later, yeah. That's yeah. right.
Have you ever recorded in a professional studio?
I have, not as a session musician, but I have recorded in, with groups, yeah, once or twice. It's an interesting experience.
I imagine so.
Craig, what would you call a person who writes songs?
Oh, that's easy. A songwriter. A songwriter. And some people who write songs, some songwriters, also sing when they perform. So they're singer-songwriters. Examples that you may know, Elton John, Billy Joel, Paul Simon, they are singer-songwriters.
If you don't sing, but you play a musical instrument, you're an instrumentalist.
Well, that's a long word. How many syllables in that
word?
Instrumentalist.
5 syllables.
Instrumentalist. Stress the middle one. Instrumentalist.
But Craig, what do you call a group of people who sing?
Well, you mentioned this word at the beginning of the podcast when you were speaking about a choir, un coro. Be careful of the pronunciation because the spelling has nothing to do with the pronunciation. The spelling is C-H-O-I-R, but the pronunciation, choir, choir. And you had a choir when you performed in the Escuela de Idiomas.
That's right.
Very, very good choir singing behind you.
Yeah. We were accompanied by the choir of the Escuela Oficial de Idiomas de Valencia, who were very, very good, by the way, and learned to sing songs in many languages, including, can you imagine, Gallego and the language of Lesotho from South Africa. Wow. And yeah. Japanese. They're really good.
Amazing. And very beautiful voices. There was a person when I went into the auditorium before the concert began who was testing and adjusting the levels of each microphone for each musician. So the drummer, Reza on the violin, the pianist, they were all playing separately. And then a man was adjusting the volume and he was the sound technician. So técnico de sonido, the sound technician.
For the concert we did in the Escuela Oficial, we just set up the stage, el escenario, ourselves. But for a big concert, for a big, big rock group, you know, where thousands of people are going to go, they have what they call stage hands. Mm-hmm. And a stage hand is a person who sets up, gets ready, they set up the stage, they put everything in the right place, make it look nice, put the instruments where they should be, sort out where all the different pieces of equipment have to be.
And that's the people who work at the actual event or concert. There are people who travel around with the band when they're touring. A person who helps to transport all of the equipment, the instruments, when they're on tour. And that person is a roadie. So road, R-O-A-D, and then I-E, a roadie. So a roadie travels around with the group and helps with the heavy lifting and the equipment.
Another person who's very important, although they don't actually play the music, is a producer. Every important pop group, or even unimportant pop group, perhaps, needs a producer. That's a person who's in charge of the technical side, a person who knows how to get the sound that they think you need, and they know how to get your sound onto a recording.
So that's the person in charge of the technical aspect. What about the person who tries to get you the concerts, who manages the business and the logistical side of everything?
That would be the manager. And I think in Spanish it's the same, isn't it? Un manager, you say these days in Spanish. So they manage your affairs, business and logistical, which means traveling and moving things.
So we mentioned before that a roadie is a person who transports the equipment. Well, if road connects to roadie, then groupie. What's a groupie? A groupie is a fan of the band or group who follows them around and would do absolutely anything to be with the group members, including maybe sleeping with them.
Yes, that's the typical stereotype, isn't it, of the groupie. If they're good-looking and they really love the group members, they might take advantage of them.
I've got a story of a groupie that I actually know. One of my sister's friends, and I won't mention her name, I don't want to embarrass her, but she told me once that she was a David Bowie groupie. and did actually sleep with him one night.
Really? Yeah. When he was, she can say it now. David Bowie's not around to bring her to court anymore.
No, she told me years ago when he was still alive. I think she's very proud of the fact that she was a huge David Bowie fan, and on tour they had a drink together, and she slept the night with him. So that's her one claim to fame.
Wow. Well, we've talked about people, Craig. Let's talk about a few other terms, things which aren't people. For example, everybody likes a nice tune. What's a tune?
Melodia. A tune.
We could say melody, but it's more common to say tune in an informal way, isn't it?
Is there a difference?
Not as far as I know. Mm-hmm. No, not really.
Just an arrangement of musical notes in an agreeable sequence.
Craig.
Yes.
What have I just done?
Sorry?
What have I just done? What have we just done?
That's whistling. To put your lips together and blow air through them is to whistle. W-H-I-S-T-L-E in Spanish, soplar. To whistle a tune.
Craig, what about this?
You should be standing. That's humming. So the verb to hum, H-U-M. I didn't know this word in Spanish. Tarariar?
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
How do you say it?
Yeah, something like that. Tarariar.
Tarariar. To hum. To hum.
To kind of like sing, but without opening your mouth.
So you can whistle a tune and you can hum a tune. People who hum tunes usually seem very happy.
Now, rhythm's a very important aspect of music, obviously. But people, foreigners, sometimes confuse it with rhyme. Rhythm is ritmo. So drummers and percussions, above all, are responsible for rhythm. But rhyme is not necessarily to do with music. Rhyme is to do with poetry. Words which sound similar, like boat, coat, the oat sound, or book, look, that's rhyme.
So, I can understand the confusion, because they do look quite similar, don't they? Yeah. Rhythm, R-H-Y-T-H-M, and rhyme, R-H-Y-M-E.
Yeah, and of course, in pop music, very often the words, the lyrics, do rhyme. They write them in a way so that words sound similar.
Mm-hmm. So when I sing or hum or whistle, I usually do it out of tune, which is not very nice. It's not very agreeable. When I sing in the shower, I sing out of tune. What's the opposite of out of tune? If you sing agreeably and very, very attractively.
That's to sing or to play or to whistle or hum, whatever, in tune. So in tune affinar and out of tune desafinar, when the notes aren't quite right.
So when you play the violin, if you're not playing in tune, is it obvious to you immediately?
Not obvious to you playing, but pretty obvious to those listening. This is the problem with the violin, one of the many problems. It's hard to play in tune because the violin doesn't have frets, that's thrastes, by the way, like a guitar. In a guitar, it's easier to play in tune because there are frets, there are these things which will affect the length of the string. Whereas in a violin, you with your finger have got to get the exact length because there's no other way to get it.
So how do you know? Practice.
Practice. But we often do play out of tune violins, whereas guitarists play in tune a lot more because it's easier for them, because they have these frets, those trastes.
Right. Una partitura is a score, a musical score. Now, you might know score as a verb, to score a goal, for example. That's a noun, a score, isn't it?
Yes, music written on paper. So I learned to play the violin with scores, the classical way, and it's only fairly recently that I've had more confidence to play without scores. I found it quite hard at first, whereas for many other people, for most rock musicians, it's the reverse. Mm-hmm. They learn to play without scores, and then later they perhaps learn scores.
And the word chord, C-H-O-R-D, how would you explain that?
So that's a group of notes played at the same time. Like when a guitarist, for example, strikes two or three or four or five, maybe six strings at the same time, you'll hear a chord. Or when a pianist uses more than one finger at the same time, that will be a chord.
Is it possible to play a chord on a violin?
It is. It's not common, but it is possible. You can hit two strings at the same time, but it's hard to make it sound good.
So you're playing in a band at the moment, and you've recently done a couple of concerts. We've had a few concerts this year. There's another word for a concert, isn't there?
Yeah, I would call them gigs.
Is there a difference between gig and concert?
Usually gig refers to more informal situations. So we don't take ourselves very seriously and we're not very professional. So we like to say that we do a gig. However, if you went to see the London Philharmonic Orchestra play, you know, Beethoven symphonies, it's more typical to call that a concert.
Also, it's important to notice the collocations with these two nouns. So you give a concert, or you do a gig, or maybe have a gig. You could say, oh, I have a gig next week, or I'm doing a gig next week. But the collocation with concert is to give, or to go to.
To go to a gig.
So Reza, when you want to, if you're recording more than one instrument together, how do you mix those sounds so that they have the right levels and the right bass and the right tone?
Well, the sound technician or sound engineer, he's sometimes called, will probably have a mixing desk.
Mm-hmm.
A mesa de mezcla. So there are lots of different channels where he can control each sound and increase its intensity or decrease it and filter it in many different ways.
Mixing desk is correct, but I would probably call it just a mixer. Yeah. A mixer, especially with podcasting. I don't think podcasters would say mixing desk, but maybe a sound technician would. It's more of a technical word, but probably a more common expression would be a mixer.
Now, Craig, we wouldn't be here talking right now to our lovely audience if it weren't for the next thing, a mic. What's a mic?
A mic, a microphone, the thing we're speaking into at the moment so that you can hear us and the sound can go into the computer. It's a microphone, which interestingly is a bit strange because recently we did a podcast about prefixes and we said that micro is very small and macro is very big. So microphone actually means small sound, even though it's amplifying the sound and making it louder. So maybe it should be called a macrophone.
That's a weird thought. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Now, Craig, the next word, I'm going to spell it. You say it. L-I-V-E.
Well, it depends on the context, doesn't it? Because if it's a verb, it's live. I live in Valencia. We both live here. But if it's an adjective, it's live. So the vowel sound changes. Live, very short. Live, very long. A live concert. So live music is in directo.
So it, as Craig says, it collocates with concert or music or performance or recording, live performance, etc. Live, not live, live.
Now, something that might not be familiar to our younger listeners, but back in the day when I was young, we used to listen to records. Records on vinyl. Do you remember those?
Yeah. You say that, Craig, but believe it or not, vinyl sales are increasing.
Are they?
These days, increasing.
Who's buying vinyl music? Who's buying records?
Young people.
Why?
Not all young people, but some young people. For some reason, which people really didn't expect 5 years ago, quite a few young people are really into, they're really enthusiastic about vinyl records. And a lot of groups actually have records on vinyl, vinilo.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah,
it's making a comeback. To make a comeback means when something seemed to be disappearing, but it's become popular again. Incredibly.
So the noun is record, but the verb is record. Notice the stress changes on the verb. So a record, a vinyl record, stress the first syllable, but the verb to record music, stress the second syllable.
And Craig, they need to be careful with that false friend.
The false friend being disc, perhaps?
Yes, disc is not disco. In English, when we talk about un disco, the musica, it's a record. It's not a disc, it's a record. Un disco para el ordenador, which also seem a bit old-fashioned these days, that's a disc. Yeah. That's a disc. But if it's for music, it's a record, not the same.
Or a CD.
Or a CD compact disc, okay.
Oh, so Reza, when you practice with your band members to improve your performance, what's that called?
Yes, when people get together to practice, it's to rehearse. And the noun is a rehearsal. It's not the same as you playing on your own at home to get better. That's just to practice. It's when people get together, we say rehearse.
Are there any other things you could rehearse apart from music in a band?
Yeah, of course. Actors rehearse when they get together to act with each other. Film actors also, theatre actors, they rehearse. Or people rehearse speeches. Politicians rehearse their speech. They go to the room where the speech is going to happen just to get used to it and start speaking. And a few people listen to them before the real event.
So the special room that you rehearse in could be called a rehearsal room. So rehearsal is the adjective. A rehearsal room or a rehearsal studio.
Yes, un local de ensayar. A typical Spanish mistake is to call it a local. It's not. It's a rehearsal room.
I hear that mistake with bars as well, or bars or restaurants. Yeah,
that's right.
Local.
In English, a local is a person.
Or a pub.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
a local. I'm going pub. To the local.
That's true. Could that's a very colloquial English. But a local, if it's a person, is un lugareño. False friend.
What's the name for instruments that are not amplified by an amplifier?
They are acoustic. They're acoustic. That means they don't run with electricity. And there are some instruments which can be acoustic, but are usually electric. So when you stop using the electric, you take out the plug, el enchufe, you say that they're unplugged. They're now acoustic.
An electric guitar, an acoustic guitar, totally different instruments, right?
Different instruments, yeah, they look different. Although there are acoustic guitars which you can electrify, they'll take a cable and become electric, but yeah, they're different.
Speaking of acoustic guitars, the acoustics, with an S, the particular sound qualities of a venue. I remember you commented when you played the concert in the Palau de Música here in Valencia, you said the acoustics were wonderful. The sound you got from the music in the room where you played, the acoustics were very, very good.
Yeah. For example, I love the acoustics in this church. The sound echoes a lot. In Spanish, it's la acústica. In English, it's acoustics with S. Craig, can you think of other nouns which always end in S in English?
News.
Yep. Politics, economics, physics. If you don't add the S, it's not right.
Reza, what's a cover version? When you cover a song, cover is cubrir, normalmente. When you cover a song, what does that mean?
To cover a song means to do a song, play a song, which you didn't write yourself. So it's not an original song. It's a version of another person's song. Do you know which song is the most covered rock song?
The most covered rock song.
In other words, groups play it, but they didn't write it.
I'm guessing something by the Beatles, maybe something by the Rolling Stones.
No. Nope. Although I'm sure they are covered a lot. It's Hotel California. That's the classic cover version.
By the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's very common to be heard in bars in Spain.
Yeah. And all over the world, in fact. Yes, you can take music which is written and slightly change the sound of it by arranging it. You can do an arrangement. That's to reassign the different parts to different instruments. For example, imagine the original is for a violin and piano, and you decide to write a version for trumpet and clarinet. You've arranged it differently.
So that's not the same as covering a song. You're assigning different instruments to different parts of the song.
Right. A very important word in the record industry is to release a record. or a song or a CD. That means to make it available to the public.
I suppose you'd say lanzar in Spanish, the yep. same way that you'd release a film to the yep. public.
So they talk about a new release, a record just recently released, or even a re-release, which is an old record which has come out again.
In the old days, the days before iTunes and Sony Music online and Spotify, I remember record labels. For example, companies like EMI, Decca. Do you remember Decca? Atlantic Records and when the wonderful music coming out of Motown, Detroit City. Record companies used to manage the artists. They don't do that anymore, do they?
A bit, but not a lot, yeah.
Not so much.
Not so much these days. So they're record companies, or labels, they're also called as well.
Record labels, yeah. Before we continue looking at idioms and a little discussion on the subject of music, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, iTalki. iTalki is a website where you can find a personal one-to-one teacher to give you a bit of a push with your English and really help you improve in a short space of time. iTalki is very convenient because you practice with your teacher when you would like, when you have time. It's also very affordable because there's a selection of different prices depending on the teacher's background, qualifications, etc. If you're interested in this service from iTalki, they're offering $10 when you sign up through us. So for more information, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. That's italki. And we'd like to say thank you very much to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Reza, let's look at one or two music idioms connected to music, because there are quite a few. Face the music. What does that mean? If you have to face the music because you've done something bad.
Well, then you have to be punished, or you have to finally confront the difficult situation. Face the music.
That's usually quite uncomfortable, isn't it, when you have to admit to doing something, to own up, which means to be honest and say, yes, I did it, then you're facing the music.
To jazz something up, Craig. What's that?
Make it more interesting. Maybe you're designing something for the internet, or maybe you're making some clothes for yourself and you want to make more colourful, more attractive to the eye, more appealing. Then you might jazz it up with colour or design or something that really catches the eye, really attracts the attention of the person.
Craig, do you make a song and dance out of anything?
I don't know, do I? From time to time, I suppose. I can't remember. Oh, yes, I made a song and dance this morning when there was a lot of noise coming from outside, because in the summer here we have the windows and the doors open because it's hot. And the bus driver outside was really making a lot of noise with the bus. He was testing the engine. He was pushing the accelerator. And I got really, really angry because I was trying to sleep the siesta. So I made a song and dance out of the noise coming from the street outside the flat.
Craig, if you wanted to say that you like something, how could you do that using a musical idiom?
You could use the expression, it's music to my ears. For example, if you arrive to record a podcast and say, oh, Craig, I saw this bar of chocolate on special offer at the supermarket. I thought I'd get it for you. I might say, Reza, that's music to my ears. That's made me very happy. I like it.
Craig, as you know from this podcast we do together, it takes two to tango, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Very famous dance, the tango, but you cannot do it alone. You cannot dance alone. That would be silly. You need two people to dance the tango.
Let's give an example, Craig. Imagine I were to say to you, what an amazing match. Real Madrid are great.
Yes, but it takes two to tango. Barcelona were great too. So you can't just have one party or one person making the success, for example. You have to have two.
Imagine Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig without Reza or Craig. It wouldn't be the same, would it?
Because it takes two to tango. I tried, didn't I? I tried to do it by myself before I suggested we do it together, and it was a disaster. It was terrible. It takes two to tango.
Craig, for many years in my youth, when I was a very active musician, I often played second fiddle, quite literally. That meant that I wasn't the number one violinist. I was the number two violinist.
Does that mean you're a substitute in case number one got injured?
No, you play, but you don't get the most important tunes.
Ah, you're the backup.
Not exactly that. You don't get the melodies. You get the rhythms and other things, but you don't get the main tune.
You wouldn't get the solo either, would you?
Don't get the solo. You play second fiddle. So you have to work. You've got to do plenty of work, but you don't get the credit.
An example could be, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of my boss getting all the credit for our teamwork. I'm always playing second fiddle. So playing second fiddle to him means he gets the credit or she gets the credit.
Craig, how could you say the fact that you're giving yourself publicity, you're saying how great you are, oh, look at me, aren't I magic, with a musical expression?
Well, the expression to blow your own trumpet means to say how fantastic and how wonderful you are. If I said I'm such a great teacher and a wonderful podcaster and I have such a lovely voice, which I don't think that, but if I did, then I would be blowing my own trumpet. Announcing my good points.
Craig, you live together with your partner most of the year, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Who calls the tunes?
Definitely she does. She wears the trousers in the relationship. That means that she calls the tune, she's in charge, I know my place.
To strike or hit the right note. Well, in music, that means to play in tune. You hit the right note. You didn't play out of tune. No desafinabas. So, as a metaphor, that means to say something appropriate, to say something good, something right in the context.
Another expression, all that jazz and all that jazz. If you're listing things and you add the expression and all that jazz, it means similar related things. For example, my friend Jane, she loves glamour, she loves Hollywood, she loves fame and all that jazz. Everything that goes with it.
To ring a bell is a very common expression. It means to sound familiar. For example, I'm listening to the radio and I say, I think I recognize that voice. It rings a bell. That means it sounds familiar to me. I can't quite tell you who it is at the moment, but I'm sure I've heard it before because it rings a bell.
Or look at that student over there. I'm sure I've seen that student somewhere before. Her face rings a bell. Miss Wenner.
Craig, have you changed your tune about anything in life over the years?
Oh, many things. Yeah, I've changed my tune about London. I used to, when I was growing up in the suburbs of London, I used to go in to the centre quite a lot and I thought it was quite exciting and very attractive and very interesting, like an adventure to go there. But last few years when I've been back to visit, I haven't really enjoyed being in the centre of the city very much. So I've changed my perspective, my opinion, my attitude. I've changed my tune where London's concerned. It isn't the fantastic capital that I thought it was years ago.
Craig, I've just bought a new car. Well, a second-hand car, but it's new for me. Ferrari, it only cost me $500. I got it for a song. $500 for a Ferrari? That's really cheap.
That's about the price of the key ring.
Yeah.
You got that for a song. It went for a song, you could also say. It went very cheaply. So what does the expression to play something by ear mean?
Well, it's the opposite of playing with a score. So it means metaphorically to act without a plan, depending on the circumstances that arise, lo que surge, making it up as you go along.
So you could play music by ear and you could play anything by ear. If you could go into, I haven't prepared my class today. I have to teach the present perfect. I have no idea what to do. I think I'll play it by ear. Just go with the flow.
To strike a chord is a very common expression. It means to connect with your sentiment. Imagine I said that I like the government's new tough, hard crime laws. They strike a chord with me. That means, yeah, I feel the same as the government. I think it's right to be tough on crime. I have a similar opinion to them.
Another musical idiom you could use is to be as clean as a whistle. We mentioned whistle before, which was this. So if something's very, very clean, you could say it's as clean as a whistle. when I go to Reza's flat, I realise how clean it is. And I often say to Reza, Reza, your flat's looking as clean as a whistle today.
Yes, let's just say that's Craig's imagination there. Craig, maybe...
I must say it's looking cleaner than it used to.
I think through sarcasm, Craig is in fact blowing the whistle, if anything. He's a whistleblower. He is publicly denouncing something wrong because in reality, my flat is very dirty.
So if you're a whistleblower, then you give away secrets. You publicly denounce any wrongdoing, anything that you don't agree with in society. For example, Baltasar, the judge, blew the whistle on his corrupt colleagues and got into trouble for it. Reza, let's end this vocabulary group on a high note. What does that mean, to end something on a high note?
In a positive way, in an optimistic way. Just like an opera, the final note is often very high. So a high note is compared to a low note, which is so to end on a high note is very positive. It's very lively, very energizing.
And speaking of opera, you know it's never really over until the fat lady sings. So let's talk about music for a few minutes. What groups or singers or what kind of music do you like or listen to, and what do you dislike?
I like just about anything. The only thing I really dislike, I'm sure I'm about to offend some people, is kind of techno and rap. I'm not too keen on. But I like pretty much anything else you can imagine. What about you?
I'm not keen on reggaeton. I don't like country and western very much. I love rap. We've spoken about that before. But what was the other one you mentioned that you didn't like?
Techno.
Yeah, I don't like techno or house either. But most other genres of music I am very, very keen on. And
genre means type, yeah?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
It's a French word. G-E-N-R-E, genre.
And do you prefer songs or instrumental music?
It depends what mood I'm in. I quite like soft instrumental music, maybe classical music or ambient music when I'm doing something else, like maybe working, something in the background. But I also like rock. I like many groups where singers are involved. If I'm actually sitting down listening to music, which doesn't happen that much these days, then it's probably with a singer, with vocals and a group singing.
So you said you like listening to music when you're working sometimes, when you're preparing things.
If I'm doing something on the computer that doesn't need a high degree of concentration, then I like a bit of background music, yeah.
So I presume that's to relax you. Do you ever listen to music to perk you up? That means to make you feel energized or to excite you?
When the mood takes me, if I'm feeling... In a mood for listening to a certain singer or type or group of music, then I'll put that on and I might have a dance or move around the flat, do some energetic movement or some kind of silly dance, or I might just sit down and listen to it because I like the music. What about you?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, there's music which excites me. There's music that bores me. Some music makes me laugh, in fact. There's music which I just find funny.
What kind of music makes you laugh?
I'm a big fan of Trio Los Paraguayos, but it kind of makes me laugh at the same time.
You've turned me on to those. To turn on to means to expose someone to it so that they like it. And I remember Reza spoke about it in a podcast a long time ago, and I started listening to it, and I quite like it too. It's very happy music.
It's very happy, and it's just kind of silly. But music can also make me cry. Does music ever make you cry?
When it's connected to strong memories, there's some music that when I hear, a bit like a smell sometimes, it takes you back to a memory a long, long time ago. And obviously, if it's a happy memory, you remember good times in the past. But if it's a sad memory or maybe reminds you of a relationship that didn't go well or a particular time in your life when you were sad and maybe a bit depressed, then yeah, I suppose it could make me cry, although I can't remember the last time I listened to music and cried.
And Craig, would you like to be able to play an instrument?
I always wanted to play the drums, but to use an idiom we've spoken about before, I think that ship has already sailed. I think it's too late. I did try once to play the drums, but wasn't very dedicated or motivated, so I didn't stick at it, which means I didn't keep on doing it.
But you've never played in a group?
No, never. What's the best concert you've been to? The best live music you've seen?
My answer might surprise you. I couldn't really remember the actual music. I couldn't sing a single note of it, but that's kind of the point. It was Ravi Shankar playing live, the Indian classical musician, and it was just sublime, to be honest.
Where did you see it?
In Dartington College of Arts, a kind of a medieval great hall in the middle of the countryside in Devon. And I'm lucky that I got to meet him afterwards, because I was like a steward. I was one of the people showing ticket holders to their seats. So I kind of got to speak to him a bit afterwards. And I just couldn't believe what a modest and humble guy he was. Mm-hmm. Spanish people might not know him very much, but he's quite well known in the United Kingdom. And he's a megastar in India. Well, he was. He's dead now. Ravi Shankar really made Indian classical music famous throughout the world.
Has he got a famous daughter?
He's two famous daughters, yeah. One of them's Norah Jones.
Norah Jones, that's it. Yeah, Norah Jones. Singer. Yeah, she's very, very good.
Yeah, that's his daughter, yeah. So Ravi Shankar was an incredible concert, because he just kind of, the music kind of passed through him. He was like a vehicle for kind of a spiritual kind of happening. Because in Indian classical music, it's like the musical version of a mantra. Mm-hmm. It's all about the mantra, and you just get into it and let it keep going and going and see where it goes. So even he didn't know what he was going to play until he played it.
That's so it's a bit like jazz from the point of view of being not structured and very improvised.
Yeah. You've just got the central kind of group of notes that they call the raga,
yeah,
which is a musical mantra. It's like if you keep repeating a mantra, you know, like Hare Krishna or something like that, just keep repeating it, but in music, and you kind of get into a trance with it, and you don't quite know where it's going to go. Even the players don't know.
Sounds very spiritual.
It is. Yeah. It is. It was just incredible. And of course, Ravi Shankar was he's about 65 years old at the time, 60 years old. He's like at the top of his game. That means he was really good. Hmm. Yeah, and he was so modest. This is a guy who's played with the Beatles and things like that, but he was very, very down to earth, very modest. That was amazing, yeah. Craig, one last thing.
Yeah.
If Shakespeare wrote, "If music be the food of love, play on." What do you think about that?
If music be the food of love, play on. I've heard that before, though I'm a bit rusty on my Shakespeare, which means I think that's from Twelfth Night.
I don't know where it comes from.
And if I remember, it kind of... If you eat too much food, you don't want to eat any more. So if he was in a bad relationship, or if he was maybe not in love with someone or didn't want to be in love with someone, the more music he would hear, the less he'd think about his lover. I think that's what it means, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I think it means play more music, keep playing, because if you play more music, I will forget my lover like you forget food when you've eaten too much. Okay, now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us or an idea for a future episode? Or would you just like to send us a voice message, say hello, and tell us what your favorite music is and your best concert ever? You can send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me at belfasttreza@gmail.com.
Or you can go to speakpipe.com/inglespodcast to leave us a voice message or send us an audio file by email. Before we go, we'd like to say thank you to our lovely sponsors, who are Nicolay, Anna, Pedro, Manuel, Maite, Lara, Maria, Sara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Cory, Mariel, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Manuel, Agus, Manuel, Nestor, and Juan Carlos. Thank you very much to all of you.
And we'd also like to thank Arminda from Madrid and Alberto from Granada, and now Angelica Bello from Madrid, who has also started to transcribe some of our episodes. So we've got from 131 up to, I think, is it 142, Craig?
Yes, we've got 131 to 142. And Angelica, who has joined our wonderful superhuman transcribing team, she has just finished episode one, the very first episode about do, make, you make a mess, athez un lio, present simple, the schwa, all that lovely stuff back on episode one, and something called collocate with Craig. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So if you want to collocate with Craig, go back to episode one, where you can also read Angelica's full transcription of that episode.
And by the way, don't translate that with a false friend, collocate with Craig. It is not collocarse con Craig. It is not that.
On next week's episode, we'll be speaking about touring in the UK, a touring holiday, travelling around by car, all that good stuff. So please come listen to us next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.